Kick it off by reading again. Welcome to the Master Plan Committee meeting on Thursday, November 5th. This meeting is being held remotely as an alternate means of public access pursuant to an order issued by the Governor of Massachusetts dated March 12, 2020, suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law. You are hereby advised that this meeting and all communications during this meeting may be recorded by the Town of Hingham in accordance with an open meeting law. If any participant wishes to record this meeting, please notify the chair at the start of the meeting in accordance with Mass General Laws, Chapter 38, Section 20F, so that the chair may inform all of the participants of said recording. Any show of hands that wants to record it? Seeing none, let's do a quick call of the roll for those that I can see here so far. Bryce Blair?
Here.
Gordon Carr is here. Paul Healy?
Here.
Bob Heidel?
Here.
Liz Klein?
Here.
Mike Cransley?
Here.
Gary Seelan?
Here.
Don Smallwood?
Here.
And Hans Vondela?
Here.
I think that's everybody so far, but who knows? Maybe some folks will be able to join us as we go. So we're back at it. I think we're going to try to get through some. We'll try to get through all of the economic development recommendations this evening and perhaps a few more, and then we'll go over some of the ground rules for working our way through the consent agenda at the next meeting, the consent agenda being all of those that received at least 75% of the SurveyMonkey votes of the people that participated. But with that, unless there are other orders of business or questions from the committee right now, I will turn it over to Judy.
So I guess I'll just do a screen share and bring this up. Where'd you go?
And we are starting there, right?
Yeah, if I can get this to work. I guess this is it. Okay. So you all can see this, right?
Yes.
Okay. So there are a couple of economic development recommendations to discuss. Some of them were in the consent agenda, some of them are here. Two of the ones that people wanted to talk about are under this. So the overall goal is support a vibrant, resilient local economy, which is regrettable jargon, but we'll use it. So the policy is support local businesses and attract new enterprises that provide employment and deliver goods and services to residents and visitors alike. And two of the recommendations under this policy are establish and fund a full-time economic development director accountable to the town administrator and select board, because it seemed to me as in your form of government that probably is where it belongs. I could be wrong. And then develop and conduct a business visitation program for economic development director and other town officials to visit the target number of businesses every week. So I think what might make sense is maybe you want to have a little discussion and I can tell you why these are here. But it might be best if you go ahead and talk first and then you will feel as though I'm trying to lead you in a particular direction.
Fair enough. Hi, Nancy. How are you? Welcome.
Took me a while to find the code to get in. Sorry.
That's okay. Was that your text or somebody else's?
That was me.
Okay, good. All right. I was just going to have Mary respond. So, yeah, it took me a while to find it, too. So, all right. So, let me pull up my participant list here and see if there are any questions or discussion on number one. I'm not sure how many folks have been able to get through the economic development draft chapter that Judy had sent, but that was a pretty good kind of baseline framework for some of these questions. I see Michael Cransley is the first one.
So I'm going to start with a question. Are we going to have a discussion regarding the text of the economic development, the text of that, or are we just going to do this?
I think we're going to try to get through the recommendations, but I would say that they're fairly intertwined.
Yep.
But Everybody has the response document that Judy sent out for her to be able to aggregate all the comments that people are going to have from in the chapters, which is far easier than her trying to catch up.
Okay.
That's comments.
Oh, I would also point out that's how we've done all the others too.
Okay, I'll send my comments then. When are they due by?
They were due a couple of days ago, but it's fine. If you can get them to me tomorrow, that's all right.
Okay. Had it not been for a dump truck running into my house, I probably would have had them done.
Sorry.
you'll be tied with me, Mike, if you get them in tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow was fine, but I mean, we're already into.
I'll have them tomorrow. Trust me. All right, on item number one, it feels to me like we're going from zero to 100 on this economic development director, and I think that there might be a different way to word this that might possibly lead to an economic development director, but maybe something different than that. So I'm the chair of the HDIC. And I know that there was a fairly long period of time when the HDIC didn't meet. I tell people when they come visit that we have no power and no money, but we're here to talk about ways to increase revenues for the town. But there might be some things in between hiring an economic development director and not having anyone, which one idea would be to, and I'm not, this is not a power grab by Mike Cransley, trust me, but maybe empowering and assigning staff help to a new commission, an economic development commission, that does have a, like I've seen other towns have it where they have a quarterly report to either the selectmen or the planning board. And that is more empowered, and that does have a specific task. We at HDIC, we basically do whatever we want to do. So maybe be more, maybe have a specified commission or committee set up that focuses full time on economic development and has quarterly meetings with town officials. It might be an in-between.
Okay. All right, well, let's test that avenue as well. Let's go to Jerry and Liz and get some initial thoughts.
So, Michael, I'm just wondering, what wouldn't the HCIC be tasked with that? Why would you be a separate committee or could you kind of refocus HCIC to do that work?
Well, I mean, we've been focused, for instance, what we've been working on for the last year is the South Hingham study. And we're probably on Tuesday going to have a letter for the master plan committee and the planning board that will have our recommendations on that. So we've been kind of focused on specific issues. And that's been a very time-consuming issue. So whether we heighten the visibility of the HDIC or, you know, I think there's a number of things that we could talk about that could possibly be helpful. I mean,
to empower it, I think you've put it back on the map, I would say, Mike, after however many years. But there's a ramp up to be done there, I would say. So, you know, I think you're doing that. I think the fact that you're putting pen to paper on specific recommendations, both for this group and for the planning board, is a pretty good step. So, as opposed to, I think, Jerry, what you're suggesting, rather than us creating yet another new
right
that has to get organized and appointed and all kinds of other things, right? Let's use what we have. Is that
I didn't recommend it.
to be a little bit more specific, one of the things I would have liked to have done is to make recommendations and to create a draft of a specific area plan, a new specific area plan for South Hingham. But honestly, I don't have the expertise to do that, and right. There's no one on my committee that has the expertise to do that. So it would be helpful to maybe have, you know, assigned staff person or something like that that could be helpful in that process.
I guess my thought is that I agree with, it does feel like it's going from 0 to 100 in one step without without kind of socializing it more, what you'd like to use. But if we have a committee that is ostensibly focused on, if not exactly economic development, something very close to it, and you are ramping it up, you know, it feels like it does make sense to task that committee with this and to request that staff help if it, you know, if it's available and capable of providing help to that committee, rather than, again, getting another committee of people that would start from scratch.
Liz, thoughts?
Yeah, theoretically, I agree with this. I think there does need to be somebody focused on economic development, certainly open to that being the HGIC or maybe even a part-time person at Town Hall. But I see this as somebody that is looking at economic development across the whole town, so not just downtown and certainly not just South Hingham. I do think that is lacking, somebody dedicated to that. Judy, you made a comment that you didn't recommend this, so just curious what, or maybe I meant.
We didn't recommend a separate commission, because my assumption is that building up the capacity of the existing group makes more sense.
Sure, okay.
But we did recommend a full-time economic development director, because I think there's a gaping hole in the town's capacity for economic development. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons it took, I gotta just give you a little background. One of the reasons it took me a long time to put this section together is that for weekends for 3 months, I've been in Hingham just going in and out of businesses, talking to people. Who do you deal with at Town Hall? Does anybody ever come and talk to you? Does anybody even know you're here? What is the business's sense of a connection to town government? And I learned a lot, which is people have no idea who they're supposed to talk to at Town Hall. There's no sense at all of town government really giving a damn about whether they're there or not, other than to pay tax revenue. And then I was looking at the HGIC webpage and on the town website, because I was glad to see that you have one. I couldn't find minutes. I couldn't find anything. And so that's not a criticism of the committee, Mike. It's a statement that there's no, the capacity to support the committee's work isn't there. And there are things that economic development directors do that aren't about going out and recruiting new businesses. That's actually a very small part of what most economic development directors do. But it is one of their functions. And I think that, you know, in a town where we have heard for a year, our taxes are too high, you know, we need to support economic development, whatever. I'm looking now at what the capacity of town government is to do that, and I don't see much. Well, so that is why this is a recommendation of this plan. And I wasn't going to bother going through all the work of trying to kind of give you a skeleton outline of what that job should be unless you actually wanted to even have a conversation about this. But believe me, the statement here is not criticism of your existing volunteers. It's not any of that. It's about building the capacity to do what you need to do to have the kind of a resilient kind of business base and a business community that feels that, like, they have some connection to the town. Now, you guys have all sort of poo-pooed it every time I've brought up any statements that people made back in the core assessment meetings at the beginning of this process, that it was just one or two people and they just had a complaint and whatever. But, you know, now I've been out in your town every weekend, because I needed to understand what is the perspective of the business community. And it's not just one person, and it's not just one isolated complaint. So if you want to have a healthy economy, you got to have a relationship with them. You have to have a relationship with your business community. And it's just a basic principle of local economic development. I don't know how else to say it. So to me, this was probably one of the most important recommendations of the whole plan. And everything else that's in the economic development section kind of hinges on building the town's capacity to do what needs to be done to support a vibrant, resilient local economy, including supporting the HDIC.
There are some other hands up. I just, for context, we, in other parts of these recommendations, the committee has, up until now, been a little hesitant to be as forceful as to say hire new staff for X, right? That we have specifically changed recommendations in other parts of the section to avoid directing the professional management of the town on hiring and job roles. So that's sort of thing one. Generally speaking, Judy, when towns have economic development directors, right, a big part of it is recruiting businesses, right? It is expanding the tax base to pay for that economic development director.
It is. That is part of it. I can tell you, having done this job, that retention is just as important as recruitment.
I preached it my whole career. I'm completely with you. It's so much easier to hang on to a business than to get a new one. But, you know, Bill Ricco, which is not necessarily a peer of Hingham by any stretch, but has been in the economic development game for a long time, just dissolved his economic development office and terminated the two people because they weren't bringing in enough business, right? Yeah. And that from a cost perspective, the select board didn't think it made sense anymore. So that's certainly in some places the expectation of that person, right? So from a budget perspective, I think we need to think about that as well. But I'm going to stop my little memory lane and go to Bob, to Bryce, and then to Paul.
There are two things. One, I have played this role in Chester County, Pennsylvania. It's an interesting role, and I'd like Mike to explain to us what he meant by the talents that are needed. He made a comment that it's a little difficult, and the talent we need is fairly complex.
I first think that, and I think we probably need to recruit people who would be willing to serve on this committee that may have some heightened expertise in some of this stuff. I think if we had a staff person assigned to us, and I know there's probably a cringe at that. But when we started opening up the South Hingham study, it was a huge task to try to take the conclusions that the South Hingham study came to and try to draw them up into a recommendation. I want to back up on one other thing. The reason I mentioned another commission is because I didn't want anybody to think that I was here trying to do a power grab and make our committee. It doesn't matter to me. I think that we don't need another committee, but I do think we need help on the HDIC. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Sort of. My observation on this whole conversation is, first of all, item number one needs to be establish a fund and full-time economic director. This is a very complex area. It isn't just about creating local businesses. If you take the plan that Perry has done that I've often referenced in the past, that some of you may have conflicting interests with, this involved not only people who studied the economics of the regional needs and then focused on the property they happen to own. So I would argue this is a broader position than just looking at the town of Hingham. Hingham has the land. Some of the resources are lacking to do a development on some of these lands, but they can be overcome. But it's a very complex process when you enter trying to identify the industry, its necessary resources to support that industry or that business. We're not going to support Hingham's economic needs on small businesses. I'm a small business in Hingham. We're not contributing a lot to the foundation of Hingham in that respect. And so it also comes down to the order of magnitude you're trying to seek economic development in. It's not just about responding to the local business owners who say, well, we don't have any economic help. So I think this is a support a vibrant, resilient local economy. Cool. In this economy, almost everybody's out of business. What do we do? And so we need more than just a person working full-time to help. We need somebody who has the expertise on a more global scale to identify Hingham within the economic matrix that we exist. We do not exist alone. Anyhow, that's fine. Thank you all.
I don't know any economic development directors who think that the economy begins and ends at the town line. I just don't.
I agree. It doesn't.
No, I understand that. And that wasn't ever the intent.
So this becomes a very complex discussion, and how we position it in this master plan has to be carefully crafted.
Right, so I think we're going to spend a little bit of time on this because lots of the other things tend to flow from this question. So we'll go Bryce and then to Paul and see where we are.
Well, I have a question for Judy and then a comment. In terms of our peer towns and cities around us, could you give us an idea of which ones do have a full-time economic development director and which ones don't?
I started to look at this, and I can't say I finished it. Most of the towns in your size range and your level of affluence that I know of either have a full-time economic development director, or they have a consolidated planning and development department that includes planning, conservation, health, economic development, and someone in that department is principally responsible for economic development. Who may also wear some other hats, but is mainly focusing on economic development. So it depends on the structure of your whole kind of land use and planning framework.
Okay.
I would say most of them do, Bryce. I think most of them do.
I certainly, either my understanding or my assumption is, you know, a Quincy, a Weymouth do, you know. Does a Scituate and a Norwell and a Rockland, you know, do they? But one thing that resonated, Judy, is you said when, a business doesn't know who to contact at town hall, I think that does show a weakness. Does it need a full-time economic development director to solve that, or does it need a restructuring to solve that, like you said, of having more of a coordination of the departments within town hall? Because just as a resident and as a developer in town, it can be very confusing who to go to. But when I just think of the businesses, and again, I'm a neophyte in this area, so I'll defer to Mike on it, and others. But it seems like there's kind of three groups of businesses in town. You got the big employers. You've got the Blue Cross Blue Shield, the Talbots, the Saronas. I'd be shocked that they don't know who to go to in town when they got a beef. And then you've got two major retail nodes, Derby Street and the Shipyard. And those tenants are going to go to their landlord. They're going to go to Samuels or WS and, you know, complain to them, bitch to them, and then they're going to come to the town and figure out what they need. So
they know how to find us.
They know how to find you, right. I'm separating out getting new business, because one of the things you talked about was retention and servicing your existing customers. You know, it seems to be if I'm a small tenant in town, if I'm downtown, which is going back to our big ideals of what's really important from the mission statement of this plan, how do you nurture those small businesses in the downtown that's so critical to the character of the town who don't have that ambassador speaking for them. You know, they don't have someone on staff to do that. They don't have a big landlord to do that for them. To me, that's an area that I would hope we can solve to make sure that they stay vibrant and they're not confused about who to go to when they've got an issue, whether it's signage or parking or trash, or, whatever's getting in the way of them continuing to be successful. I think the South Hinghams of the world, that's a whole different pot, catch of fish, and that's a big deal, Mike, and you guys are, with hopefully some support are on that, and that's going to run through a lot of departments. But I kind of keep going back to the smaller tenants who don't have someone speaking for them or advocating for them. Am I wrong on that, do we need someone calling on Blue Cross or Talbot's? Do we need someone calling WS or Samuels? I don't know that's where I put the money.
Well, the reason you have to develop a relationship with those larger developers is that you need data from them. And they are one of the best sources of data I ever had when I did that job. The so-called little people, you're absolutely right. I mean, they're the ones that get lost all the time. An economic development director doesn't just wear one hat. You're not just like doing downtown, and you're not just doing South Kingdom. It's the whole kind of fabric of how the local economy comes together. And, it can get very micro sometimes, but I think that that one of the things that just became really apparent to me is I'm not sure any of you really know what your existing business base is comprised of. And you're not going to learn it by looking at employment-based data from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. I mean, it's just like a thin snapshot of what you have. You start walking in and out of some of these little business developments that you have around town, and, you find these businesses that I'm not even sure any of you know that they're there, but I can tell you this, from an economic development perspective, if you are involved in the recruitment or retention of business, you've got to know what you have. It's like trying to sort of sell housing in a market. You have no idea what the housing market is because you don't really understand what the existing supply is. You've got to know what your business base is comprised of, and it's fascinating in your town. I think there's pockets there that I'm not sure you guys really know even exist, but they're part of the local economy, and they're there for a reason. And the issue isn't just that they're there. It's why are they there? Why are they in Hingham and not Norwell? And I would say I don't consider Norwell and Situate your peers. Sorry. I mean, that's just not who I would look at if I were trying to figure out who has an economic development director.
Well, so they're not our peers.
No, they're just regional. They're just regional partners, if you will. But they're not. They're not your peers. I mean, think about who your school district looks at for peers. Think about who your finance.
Okay, so who are those people that in your judgment are our peers that have full time economic development directors?
I looked at Plymouth, I looked at Lexington, I looked at Arlington, I looked at Andover, I looked at North Andover. What else did I look at?
And they all have full-time Acton, economic development directors.
They either have a job called full-time economic development director who reports to the town manager, which is another thing that's different about your town from all those other communities. They either have a full-time economic development director or they have a consolidated planning and development department within which there's a person whose principal responsibility is economic development.
Okay, great. Bryce, I don't want to cut you off. I want to make sure that, did you have everything before I go to Paul?
I guess I'd be interested in Mary's observation on this too, in terms of when we talk about a consolidated planning and development department, is there a way to I guess my reaction to it is, if you had a stronger commission, as Michael has offered and advocated for, and you could pair that with a more integrated, function at town hall, is there a way to do this short of adding in a full-time economic development director? It would seem to me that would be a measured next step. And what I've heard from some of the other people on the commission, but I'm interested in Mary, who really knows how it works within town hall.
So, Bryce, the HDIC is an underutilized resource. It's an asset. They don't have the staff capacity that, you know, depending on what functions they're going to do, they might need. It might be beneficial to for the town leaders to reevaluate what their mission or their charge is, so to speak. Like for South Hingham, we have a lot of information about what land is available, what the challenges are to develop it. You know, there's two different ways to approach development. You know, the town can go out and recruit it, or we can lay the table and let the developers come to us and then work with them to change the regulations depending on what's being proposed. The town could build the infrastructure and open the door and say, okay, guys, come on in. We want the development. Or we could wait and let the developers that want to come in help pay for those improvements as part of their entrance into the town, right? You know this. Hingham has, you know, thus far taken the position of being more reactionary and letting the developers contribute to the not insubstantial infrastructure challenges, right, as part of development agreements and that type of thing. So there's that concept. You know, certainly there are opportunities if you want to set up a structure for managing development differently, but if you're going to set up a structure to manage development, then you actually have to support the structure, right?
Right.
So it's great to say we should do this, but if there's not actually the support or the commitment to that, then it's really wasting everybody's time. So I would also just say, you know, the downtown businesses have the Downtown Association. The town, we work with the South Shore Chamber, so there are relationships in place. Typically, they're a little more soft-spoken because the third floor tends to do a lot more of the, you know, they're the public face, they're the selectmen. So while staff may be cultivating relationships and coordinating projects, typically it's our elected boards and commissions that are doing the final deal making, and they're the public face of the communications. So it's a little different approach to things. Just because things aren't always visible or apparent doesn't mean that some of those conversations or relationships aren't happening. They just may not be happening on TV, right? So that's kind of my initial reaction.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful.
Yeah, it is helpful. Thank you. Paul?
I hesitate, but I'm going to talk anyways. You know, I don't want people on this committee to think that the town's been asleep for the last two decades, because it hasn't been. In the planning board, my experience was that we were proactive in recognizing the needs of the different business areas of the community, whether it be the large, you know, business entities or the small shop in the square. And you can see that consistently throughout, you know, the time we proposed zoning, you know, bylaw changes. When I became a selectman, I felt it was important to have a better understanding of South Hingham business potential, and proposed and formed a study group that met 30 public meetings over 3 years. It involved the major stakeholders of the area, the neighborhoods, the South Shore Chamber of Commerce, Vanesse, you name it, and we studied it in depth. The members of the planning board, the board of selectmen, I was on it, the ZBA, Jerry was a part of that too, HDIC had a voice in it, and we looked at it from all different angles in terms of what its potential was. We didn't make recommendations per se as you should do this, you should do that, but we held the interest of the major landowners up in that area. And, you know, this is something that has continued. You know, when I sat on the Board of Selectmen, I was in touch with the landowners, you know, both north side, south side, you name it. It isn't as if it's a wasteland, but those people knew how to get a hold of the board, and the board knew how to get a hold of them. And I think, Mike, you'll remember that when you started your journey on the HDAC, one of the things I asked you to do was reach out to the communities around us in South Hingham, find out what they're doing, you know, what their plans are, what, you know, how what we're doing would impact them. I think that this has been an ongoing process. You know, I'm a little uneasy about the idea of creating another position. I don't see any problem with expanding the, you know, this kind of role with, you know, the existing structure we have in place, you know, whether it's the director of community planning or somebody else within that second floor, you know, permitting the youth. But I think it's a good idea, but I also know that, you know, for the people you visited, Judy, you say they have no clue as to who to call town hall. I guess the first question I'm asking, well, have you ever needed to call somebody? And if so, for what?
Of course.
Because this
right.
There's plenty of resources at town hall. And, you know, if you've called the wrong department, we have a lot of good people in local government that can put you in touch with the right department.
I think sometimes you may hear these things as like criticism, like you're not doing something. You're doing a lot. You, frankly, your town amazes me for the limited staff capacity that you do have, that you get as much done as you do. This recommendation isn't to say you haven't done enough. It's to say there are things that you could do more of, that you could do with greater expertise and in a more systematic way. But it's not to say you haven't done anything. So it's really important to me that you hear that.
I guess I'm just uneasy about, you know, expanding government when there's an expectation that people don't want their taxes increased. And the only realistic way to, you know, expand government is to increase the taxes, you know, absent getting revenue generated from, you know, the business part of town. But, you know, there's also the countervailing pressure that people think there's too much traffic in South Hingham, too much development as it is. So there's pushing back and forth here that makes this a real challenge to effectively, you know, carry out.
So along those lines, Paul, again, this is, I guess, in my role as chair, right? We did a lot of visioning sessions. We did a survey with almost 1,000 responses. I'm not saying that we need to be dictated by the results of that survey, but we also need to be cognizant of it. On the question about what do you most want to change in Hingham, it wasn't even a close call. Overdevelopment by far was the number one thing that people wanted to change, right? When you get to, if there's anything you could do to improve Hingham, what would it be? Stop building, slow down development, were far and away numbers one and two.
Yeah.
So if the one area where we say we're going to expand government by hiring more people is in economic development, I think we're going to have some answering. That's just, maybe that was too strong a statement, but we have to be aware of what that kind of the view of the world was then, and how we react.
I know, but I mean, not to keep going on this, but when we were trying to get the shipyard up and running, it was during a very challenging time, and you know, the landowner was having problems tenanting it, and we had a different vision of what would come in there than what actually did. But we worked with the developer as best that we could to effect a successful opening, because we knew how important, you know, the survival of the shipyard was once it was permitted and built.
and Derby Street, right? We all are rooting for Derby Street quite aggressively now, right? So, yeah, no, that's certainly true. And I think, objectively, people think the shipyard is an amazing project, an amazing addition to the town. And all of that did happen. All right, I'm stopping. Bob, and then Jerry, and then we'll see where we are.
Just a quick comment on your statement, Gordon, that when we interviewed the people, they wanted to stop development. I think one of the heavy influences in that response was the fact that we were suffering from water shortages on a fairly continuous basis, and I think the town has become very sensitized to that condition, and most people don't understand economic development, and so I think we were being battered a little bit by that and the traffic issue.
Perhaps, so, and as Judy said, they also said they don't want their taxes raised, and you know, we become a bit of the trade-off team here on the Master Plan Committee, saying, okay, well, there are consequences to policies. I just wanted to point out that's kind of what we heard when it came to development, not, you know, where's the next big thing.
Right, I agree with you. I understand that.
So one of the interesting things that's happened in your community is that you have been successful with Derby Street, with the shipyard. And I alluded to this in the economic development paper, but I didn't put the map in. But when I sat here and I mapped, okay, so here's where all the traffic was coming from to your community, for people who work in there, back in 2000. And here's where they're coming from today. And the number of people who are commuting into Hingham to work every day, to work in the jobs that have been created in retail, in food service, in healthcare, is much different from what you had 20 years ago, and they're coming from all over the place. So you have more geographies generating more traffic, more people coming to work in cars than you had 20 years ago. So I'm sure people who live in Hingham on a daily basis to see all this traffic think, overdevelopment's a big problem, but you know, part of what's happened here is that you're a victim of your own success. Which I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying that's part of what's happened. Of course they're seeing more traffic, because the nature of the job base that you've created tends to be lower wage employment. Well, so people can't afford to live in Hingham who work in a lot of these jobs, so they're coming from all over the place. So you've expanded the geography that's generating traffic into your town every day.
Yeah, we also have an Ontario roadway that serves as a feeder for Scituate and Cohasset going into Route 3. And it's 25,000 vehicle trips a day up Main Street.
Of course.
Right. 3A.
Yep. But you can't ignore the amount of traffic that's coming into your community either from a larger set of geographies than you had 20 years ago.
Fair enough. Jerry, and then I think Mike has his hand up again.
So, Gordon, in response to the observation that I think we all made, that so many people were complaining or making statements about stopping development, I do continue to think that the type of development people were reacting to was primarily the large multifamily developments. I don't think you're getting people saying that the South Shore Hospital or Muscle Center is a bad thing or overly burdensome. I don't think Blue Cross Blue Shield is something that is rubbing people the wrong way. I don't think Serono is. I don't think South Shore Collaborative is. So I think we were kind of experiencing a bit of a snapshot of a reaction to a fairly large number of multifamily housing developments that were quite visible. So I contrast that with the fact that for several kind of successive town meetings, people were supportive, and admittedly this was a few years ago now, but town meeting was very supportive of creating sewer district in South Hingham to support economic development. So, you know, it's a real push-pull, I agree with that. I don't think the tide has turned that people are against all economic development per se. I think there are different types of economic development. But I think we talked about this a lot on our committee on the South Shore, on the South England Development Committee, kind of coming up with a type of economic development and quantity that would be most supportable by most people is the challenge. And, you know, I'm now kind of drifting a little bit back towards Judy's strong recommendation that we have some real professional help in town hall to help guide this. I don't think that it should be in the planning department or planning kind of supergroup, only because, at least in Hingham anyway, I think that group is primarily a regulatory group. I'm not sure that is the proper home for an economic development agency. I think they have to work together, obviously. Everybody's got to know each other and know what the different kind of requirements are and desires are in the town, but I'm not sure that it should be kind of incorporated into that second core group. But, I do think that it is complicated enough. There are enough different kind of attitudes about what's good development, what's not good development, what causes traffic, what eats up, or what drinks up all of our water, that maybe it is time to have someone with a little bit more professional expertise to support the committee. I'm a huge supporter of the volunteer committees, and I think HDIC could easily be kind of tasked to focus more on a townwide economic development, sort of a task, but having professional assistance in the form of a staff person in town, I think probably does make more sense if we want to broaden our tax base and take some of the burden off the homeowner. We noted last week that 10 years ago or so, the non-residential component of our tax revenues was around 11% of our total revenues, and now it's down around 9%. And I don't think that's because commercial enterprise has gone out of business. I think it probably is because the residential values have gone up so much. But I think as we look at our benchmark tenants, and even across the state, 11% was a little bit low for, I think, a town like Kingham in terms of the proportion of tax revenues that should come from non-residential. So I'm kind of going back to being more supportive of the idea of having an economic development director or staff person in town hall to help guide what taking advantage of the resources that we have or figuring out a way to supplement them to attract more business.
It's an important clarification in context that you made about what folks may have been reacting to, what I was quoting, survey and that kind of thing. I think you're probably exactly right. So thank you for that clarification.
Gordon, just to finish up, I was trying to remember who the heck was on my list, but I also talked to Acton, Westford, Dedham, Walpole, and there was I was one other town, I don't remember what it was, but North Andover, as I mentioned before. So it's this group of communities that tend to be, you know, fairly well-to-do and have a government that's similar to yours, and all but one of them are open town meetings.
So, okay, so that's helpful. We've been at this one for a very long time. We are now officially far behind for the evening, but as
I think you're
you know what?
With your audio.
We're having trouble hearing you, Gordon.
Yeah, your audio's weak. It keeps.
I think Bryce might have muted you. Not good.
Gordon, it's still bad.
Hear me?
No, keep trying.
Okay, that's not good.
Oh, that's better.
That's good. That's very good.
Wait, that was good.
Okay, don't move. That's good, Gordon.
Gordon, we can hear you perfect now.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Bryce.
Don't lift your head up.
I'm not taking that. So I don't know what pearls of wisdom you missed, but I was just saying we've been at this a long time, and we need to do our best to get through some things this evening. Judy had said this was the most important one in her judgment, so we needed to discuss it. So I am getting a sense of support for it as written. I was going to suggest that, in fact, we modify it to say, you know, increase our economic development capacity and professional staff or something like that, rather than being quite so forceful on the funding a full-time economic development director. But it sounds like there's some interest in that. So why don't we go ahead and take a roll call vote of it as written and see where we end up. If everybody is okay with that. So I'll call the roll. Deirdre?
Yes.
Bryce?
No as written.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm no as written. Paul?
No as written.
Bob?
No as written.
Nancy?
I'm a yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Jerry?
Yes.
Donna?
No.
And Hans?
Yes.
And you intentionally skip Mike?
Wow.
I meant to skip Bryce, but I guess, you know, like, Mike Cransley.
A no is written.
I don't know what that number was, Deirdre.
Six no's.
Okay.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yeses.
So given the importance of it, Judy, we're going to make some sausage here. If we say increase staff capacity in economic development and investigate more permanent structures, I don't know, help me with some wording that can get us somewhere short of here, but be able to make this point.
I would say increase professional staff capacity in economic development and explore options for strengthening the economic development policy framework or something like that.
Yep.
Or strengthening the role of the HDIC and economic development initiatives in the town.
That works.
Yeah, I like mentioning HDIC and putting more on Mike's plate.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in some towns, the boards and commission members go out and do, like, business, you know, visitation, that type of thing.
Sometimes they do. Yeah. It's usually a staff function. But, you know, as long as the wording, the idea of professional staff capacity is in this recommendation somewhere. And if you then want to talk about, you know, increasing the, you know, or strengthening the framework for the HDIC, I think that's fine.
And permanent life membership for Mike Cransley, yeah. So in that spirit, I think we all understand what we're trying to get to as far as the modification to the recommendation. So then let's go to, we'll do it all again. Deirdre?
Yes.
Bryce?
Yes.
I'm a yes. Paul?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Jerry?
Yes.
Donna?
No.
And Hans?
Yes.
Okay. And yeses and a one no.
All righty. So we are either going to modify the number, this number 5, because it, as written, presumes an economic development director.
You just take those words out.
Right. Develop and conduct a business visitation program to visit a target number of Hingham businesses on a regular basis. I don't think we're going to, with the capacity we have now, each week I think is, or every week is a...
aspirational.
Right. You're not suggesting we visit the business every week, right? It's just a certain number every week.
We typically did 3.
The whole thing a bit granular. We were kind of
right
in action. There's a million actions that in many that might be more important than this one action.
I think if you just say develop and conduct a business visitation program, you're probably fine.
Yeah.
We can flush out the details in the recommendation.
All Okay. Any discussion on that, or do you think we can go straight to a vote and make up some time?
Vote.
Vote it is. So as worded, it will say develop and conduct a business visitation program, period.
Yep.
Deuter?
Yes.
Bryce?
Yes.
I'm a yes. Paul?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Jerry?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
And Hans? Did I hear Hans?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thanks, Mark.
Did you ask Jerry?
Yes.
Did I say Jerry?
Yes, you did.
I was certain I heard Jerry's melodic voice in there somewhere.
Now I'm all jumpy that I'm missing people.
You'll get over it.
I said yes three times, please.
Oh, my.
Keep moving, man.
You must be in Pennsylvania.
I think it's Chicago.
No, it's in Georgia. My vote counting is showing exactly. It's all so fun. So moving on. So 5C2. Commission and periodically update a market analysis and trends assessment of Hingham business districts and review zoning for market-driven development impediments. Fairly specific, I would say.
Yep.
I don't know if there are thoughts or comments on this one. I don't know what the vote on this was, Judy.
You know what? I actually don't have that.
No,
stuff open right now. I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, I have it. It was 8-3-1. On the survey.
All right.
No, I think, I don't even remember how I voted, but, commission would be to pay for, am I right?
Yes. Yeah. Investment.
Yes. Just making sure that we're understanding we're not commissioning staff to do it, that this would be an outsourced exercise.
Yes.
Thoughts or comments, or do we go straight to a vote?
8-3-1.
Yeah.
Vote.
All right, let's go straight to a vote. Deirdre?
Yes.
Bryce?
No.
I'll say yes.
Paul?
No.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Jerry?
Jerry, you're on mute.
Yes.
Donna?
No.
And Hans?
Yes.
8-3. 3 no's, which makes it 8 yeses.
All right.
So that's almost exactly what the vote was on the survey. It was 8-3 and one was just totally against.
Right. The 3 was just the wanting to discuss it more. Create an interdepartmental process for conducting development impact assessment on municipal services. So help me out, Judy, with these. I'm not going to read them both. Everybody can read them. The second one is to create an organization to negotiate with developers, separate from the professional staff or elected officials.
Well, typically the way I've seen this done is it's a mix. You have both staff and some, you know, elected or appointed officials at the table. So you kind of get the best of everything, but you know, this is like one recommendation with two parts. It's having a structure that's understood and has a variety of perspectives at the table all at the same time to conduct these kinds of negotiations with large scale development, and then to have a, you know, basically a group that's negotiating mitigation with large-scale projects. So the reason I'm bringing this up is that I think you have, you have really smart people on your boards and commissions, and I think that, like with South Hingham, my understanding has been that you've had, like, the selectmen and maybe some others sort of at the table negotiating on that project, which is good. The problem is that if you don't have a structure that includes maybe some other voices up front, then you may negotiate mitigation for a project and get down the road to a certain point where the stuff that matters to the people at the table are covered, but other issues that might have mattered if they'd had an opportunity to be brought up, it's too late. So typically, you know, what I've seen in other communities I've worked in, because I've actually been a consultant to some of these groups, but you know, you have a selectman, you have a planning board, you have, you typically don't have ZBA because their role is different. But planning boards, selectmen, if there's an economic development commission, they've got a seat at the table. Planning has a seat at the table. Affordable housing has a seat at the table. Conservation, I mean, these group schools, depending on the project, but it's understood that this group represents a big bunch of interests, and those interests will get vetted through that process.
Yeah.
So it isn't just one set of interests getting down the road to a certain point, and then it becomes impossible to perhaps bring up some other things that matter, might have mattered to the town.
So I'm going to put the former selectman on the spot in a moment, but Mary just asked if she could say something.
Just a little correction. So with regard to South Hingham and the potential development there, nobody on the town side has been negotiating for anything at this point. And I just want to make sure that everybody at this group is aware of that. That has not happened at this point. If and when a project were to come forward in the past, the selectmen and or town administrator tend to negotiate the development agreements. However, internally, we are asked for our comments and our thoughts in a collaborative manner from the town administrator and or our responsible, you know, boards. So the information does filter up, but again, it's the third floor that's handling those negotiations, you know, on behalf of the town, at least in the past. But it's not done in a vacuum.
Right. I'm sure it isn't.
It isn't, because the Conservation Commission is very often asked for their input. And this language pretty well sums up, I think, how we really operate today. It's a little more concise, but we are integrated.
Just in informally.
Yes.
But in practice. Yeah.
And I think I heard that, Bob, just so you know. I mean, I'm not saying that nobody's talking to anybody. What I'm saying is that, no, because I understand that's not the case. This is about sort of formalizing it so people understand their role, and the process is clear. Which was not always the case in the inquiries that I made. So this is just about having a clear process, and how do you think about cost and benefit? How is that actually determined? You know, at both kind of a, you know, the location, the community as a whole, perhaps the surrounding neighborhoods. I mean, how is all of this taken into account? So there's a clear process. And frankly, most of the towns I work in have this, and I'm not saying you're not consulting with each other, so don't get carried away.
I'm not carried away.
Look on your face, like, just chill out. Calm down. It's just about having a clear process, and then when it comes down to actually negotiating mitigation, now you can really yell at me, Paul, because I'm just going to say it. It really shouldn't just be the board of selectmen and the town administrator. There's too many other interests at stake. You've got to have a way to vet those things.
You have the floor, Mr. Healy.
I'm really interested in hearing from Bryce Blair on this, because...
Oh, good point. Yes, we'll go to the other side of the table.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather hear from Bryce, and then I'll comment.
The number of development agreements that Avalon has had to negotiate?
Well, that's, I'm just curious as to, you know, Bryce has had obviously more experience on this than I have. I'm just a small town selectman. So, you know. No, but seriously, you know, you got to look at who's sitting on the board right now. We've got a guy with 20 years of permitting experience, another one with 15. It's not like they just succeed to the Board of Selectmen with no sense of what the town's about before they got there. And, if, you know, we happen to have two selectmen who are very experienced at permitting, know the town's needs. You know, I put some time in to permitting, too, before I got on the board. And it was very important, I think, culturally, for the board to stay, you know, in tune with you know, what was happening development-wise in the town of Hingham. And, you know, to say that, well, you know, we negotiated some things, but we left stuff on the table. I think that's what Judy's saying, you know. I'm not a big fan of leaving stuff on the table, so I'm all ears for, you know, creating a process where we could maximize our position when we deal with, you know, these large-scale commercial developments. So that's why I'd like to hear from Bryce on this. You know, what are we doing wrong, and is this the path we should be taking to improve our position going forward?
Fair enough. And Deirdre had raised her hand in the interim as well, so we'll go to Deirdre and then to Bryce.
You can go to Bryce first.
Okay. We'll do Bryce first since he was called on, and then we'll go to Deirdre.
I think it's actually a good suggestion. My experience is there are kind of two buckets, either towns / cities, and generally cities have a much more formal process around this, and towns are generally more ad hoc, and then it falls upon the developer to put forth their cost-benefit analysis. So if an Avalon Bay comes into a town, generally someone says, you know, we want a cost-benefit analysis, and then Avalon Bay puts one together and says...
And hires me to do it.
Well, they may... In our end, we generally do it ourselves because we have our own framework. You know, we have our own estimates of school-age children. We, you know, have our own traffic consultant to do the traffic generation. You know, and we look at those issues, and then we put forth to the town, and then they, you know, pick it apart. And then there's generally always pet issues in the town that we may not be aware of, like, you know, the fire department wants a new fire truck, and even though we may or may not be creating the issue, you know, it ends up being the ask, and so...
You build some big buildings down there.
We'll talk later about that, but next truck is...
The ladder truck is getting on. We are not relitigating that tonight, no. Thank you very much.
But I think what Judy is suggesting here is not, you know, it's not a big ask. It's basically, you know, formalizing the process that happens informally already in Hingham. And it could be literally as simple as having, you know, a two-page worksheet that identifies, you know, what are the categories, and then somebody, you know, whether it's, you know, Mary in planning or the town manager, figuring out what are the groups that are applicable for this development and having them comment on it. So I think a developer likes knowing what the rules are, and the developer likes having a framework. The danger of this is that it becomes, you know, everybody comes in with their hand out, and that doesn't work. So you do need somebody to drive it, and in Hingham, it's the selectman, right? I mean, ultimately, there needs to be an adult in the room that says, no, you know, we can't ask for this many things. But to flush them out and get them all on the table, I think, is a good idea, as long as, again, there's some, you know, a realistic discipline that, you know, regardless of what people think, you know, all developments are not, you know, a bottomless pit of financial resources to fund every issue in town. So,
did I respond to that, Gordon?
Yes.
Thank you. I agree with what you've said, Bryce, but I also think that, you know, the planning board, in reaction to the presentation that developer, the scale that you're talking about, makes, a well, a
Quip Planning Board could speak to some of the impacts as well and ask that they be mitigated appropriately and not unreasonably. And we did that quite successfully with Samuels. I mean, it did reach a point where they said, hey, enough, you know, but nonetheless, I thought that the town was able to work quite effectively with Samuels on a lot of measures that really, you know, went beyond the project itself, but benefited the town as a result of that shipyard being redeveloped. So I agree with you, but I also think that, you know, a high-speed board that is in tune with that stuff can spot the issues too and identify needs with respect to mitigation quite effectively. A checklist is not a bad idea. I think a clear outline that, you know, a developer would be expected to address. And I think what we tried to do, at least with the shipyard, was identify early some of the issues that we felt were important that needed to be addressed as part of the permitting process. And to their credit, they responded very well.
Yeah, I don't think if this is done right, I don't think it should in any way undermine the input or the power of the relevant lead board or committee, and certainly the selectmen. It shouldn't undermine it or take away any authority. It just, in some ways, I see it as sort of institutionalizing best practices and knowledge so that whoever was on the board when the shipyard went through, they learned a lot, and they, you know, that those, how does that get passed down to board 5 years later, 7 years, oh, we missed that, we should have thought about that, or boy, we overreached there. And so this, again, this sort of template or rules of the road is what I would think would come out of that, but ultimately either the planning board or the selectmen are going to be the ones saying enough's enough or we need more. It's, you know, it's not some faceless person in town hall.
Oh, it would be I want to hear from Deirdre, but I suggest a minor modification to two, which is that the mitigation group to represent town departments and advise negotiations of public benefit agreements with the developers, so that the group is not actually doing the negotiating per se. It's an organized effort to provide the input for the negotiators, I would suggest. So,
yeah, totally agree.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Advised.
What's that?
The edit, Judy, is to advise on negotiation, or you had it.
Yeah.
She was asking for the clarification. No, my question was, you know, 7 minutes ago, like, Paul, didn't it take a long time to deal with the fire truck? And wouldn't a group that could offload some of that work be helpful? But more importantly, I think, and I'm so glad this meeting is recorded, because I think Bryce gave fabulous, like, you know, cautionary tales to whomever is recruited to do this. But I think that this whole mitigation thing, it was a Globe article. Like, this, the general public doesn't know that this happens. So we're all inside baseball. Like, they don't know that this happens. So and the fire truck in Avalon was cited in that article. Like, so I think it's good to expand, you know, as part of the master plan and the governance of our town, to expand the knowledge of that this is a factor in economic development.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm all for it.
It's dangerous to think that what worked in one scenario is going to work in the other. It's kind of factual.
Even better to have a group then to understand that.
Yeah.
And not have that knowledge in one person's head. Go ahead.
Right. You're it. Right. Okay, terrific. Any other thoughts and take votes on both of these? We'll take a vote on 5F1 as written. Deirdre?
Yes.
Bryce? Muted.
Yes. Sorry.
I mean, yes, that's okay. Paul?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Jerry?
Yes.
Donna?
I'm sorry, yes.
Okay, that's all right. Hans?
Yes.
Great. And then we will vote on 5F2 that now reads, establish an interdepartmental mitigation group to represent town departments and advise on negotiations of public benefit agreements with developers of large-scale projects. Again, from the top. Deirdre?
Yes.
Bryce?
Yes.
Gordon's a yes. Paul?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Jerry?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
And Hunt?
Yes.
Like I'm going to be reciting all of your names in my sleep at some
Thank
point.
You.
In order, alphabetical order. Okay, let's, next set is, okay, so we've, so that was all of the economic development, discussion items. There are several that will be in the consent agenda that we'll get to next week. So we've moved on to, the health and wellness chapter, goal six, and then the last is the facilities. So there are a couple here that required some discussion. The first is is this the first one? Okay.
This is one of the ones that remember when you asked us to contact your health director and get her input on recommendations for this goal. And she had provided several, and I'm pretty sure this is one of the ones that came from her.
Okay. Yeah, no, I have mine in different order, so that's fine.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
I'm just going through the slides, in the order that they come up.
Yeah, that's fine.
So we have this, and then, Gordon, just to be clear, after this, there are the slides with the suggestions committee members had proposed back in the original survey when we put all the recommendations out there.
Yeah.
So those are on here. And then this afternoon, too late for me to get it to you, I got a memo from Horsley Witten Group about some of the recommendations the committee had decided not to accept. And I think that rather than try to cram that in tonight, I should just send this memo to everybody and we could take this up at the top of the hour at the next meeting.
That sounds fine.
Okay.
So this is under the support of the health and wellness of the most vulnerable residents of Hingham. On the survey, there were 5 yeses and 7 wanting to discuss votes. Nobody was outright opposed to it. I don't know what folks' thoughts are, but why don't we open the floor? If there are. The recommendation does suggest exploring the regulatory landscape for such a thing. It's not saying we must do this, and it's not saying.
Right.
So I don't know if that helps. Bryce?
We talked about something similar to this in an earlier call. I know it wasn't directly on point, but I don't know. I question whether this is really the town's role. I mean, as a human being, I like the idea, but as thinking about the town and what the town's purpose is and, ultimately scarce resources and then there is a little bit of liability thing that bothers me a little bit. So I think it's a nice thing, but I just struggle whether it is the right thing, for the town to be engaged in.
Fair enough. I think, it is consistent with the your thoughts are consistent, I think, with the conversation that we had on something similar. Let's go to Bob and then Liz.
I just want to say the reason I felt this needed discussion was simply exactly what Bryce just articulated, because this becomes a very complex role between town, state, whatever your regional health care providers are, and I think it's, again, a good aspiration, but I think it needs a lot more clarity. I don't think paramedics and EMTs may be deployed, et cetera. I'm either not knowledgeable enough in that area, but I certainly question it.
Fair enough. I think that may be why Sue suggested the upfront language of exploring the regulatory landscape for such a thing, because she must be aware of the complexity of it as well. Liz?
Right. I know we discussed this at some level in the liability. I guess my question is just, is this a trend? Is in terms of the explore, monitor, is this where the state is going and this is something that we need to engage in? Or do you have a sense of that, Judy?
I don't. I really don't. I'm just, you know, we put these in here after asking the health director, because you guys had wanted her input, and I'm positive this came from her because it wasn't in my original recommendation. So I feel a little bit ill-equipped to answer your question. I'm happy to do more homework on it if you want me to, and you can postpone acting on this. It's totally up to you guys.
Yeah, I guess I would defer to Sue on this if this is what's happening statewide.
Do you want me to look into it a little more and take it up next week? I mean, what would you like to do?
I think we may. Let's.
It's a significant expansion of the fire department role.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
You know, we're talking about building a building, envisioning a certain area of operation. I know that they're trending heavily towards, you know, paramedic and ambulance, you know, advanced life support type thing. But this is a whole new ballgame,
which she also acknowledges by saying monitoring the legal status and the success in Massachusetts. So I think she's just trying to put it out there and make the point, Paul, that I think you're making, which this does seem to be a trend for fire departments. And should we put it on our radar screen, I guess. Let's go to Jerry, and then we'll see whether we want to vote on these or have Judy do a little bit more digging. Jerry?
I think Bryce said it well, and I also I question whether or not this even belongs in the master plan. So it's kind of my thought. It feels like it's a little far afield from the plan discussions, the topics that we...
All right, so just a sense of the committee. Do we want to vote on this, or do you want to wait and get a little bit more information?
There's actually quite a bit about this on the state public health website. I mean, I'm sorry that I didn't look into this, sir.
That's all right.
Just so you know.
It's
not my area of expertise, so I thought, all right, we'll just take, you know, Sue's recommendations, but I would be embarrassed and you know, if... didn't have more.
That's fine. So what, I'm going to suggest that we postpone these,
yeah.
Particularly in the interest of time, because I'm appreciative that she was responsive to you and provided some recommendations for our consideration. So let's go ahead and learn a bit more about them, so we can kind of give them the proper treatment. That would be my suggestion.
I will do that. That's fine. I apologize.
No apology necessary at all. That's fine. So,
do you want to look at the committee proposals? What would you like to do?
Sure. Why don't we do? Why don't we look at the committee proposals and see where we are? I've just lost all of you.
So, these are, you know, in there were suggestions committee members had made. In the space at the end of the survey, do you have something to suggest that we didn't put out there? So there's no particular order to these, so I just put them in here. So policy 6C was a recommendation to support reconstituted commission on disabilities and support efforts to enhance special ed services, improving special needs program offerings, and identifying opportunities to, I think it's fulfill housing needs for people with disabilities. And 6C is provide a range of opportunities for cultural, recreational, leisure, and social activities for all ages and abilities. So that's the policy statement.
Right.
The committee member who suggested this was saying, So this should be a recommendation under that policy.
And as that committee member, I'll start. So this was a suggestion for a couple of reasons. One, I think it's important that we have something like this under that subsection. At one of the visioning sessions that we did last fall or winter, the concept of a commission on disabilities was raised, and what it revealed was, in fact, that Hingham had a commission on disabilities that had just been inactive for so long that people didn't think it existed anymore. There were no appointees to it at all. So that visioning session just raised the awareness of that, and they spoke to Mary Power, and she's now appointed folks, and Keith German and Diane DiNapoli and Stephanie Gertz and a couple of other folks are now on the Commission on Disabilities, and they're kind of raising the topics here a bit for the town. So I wanted to both kind of acknowledge that it exists and that it's something that, you know, as we go forward, the town should support. So that was the motivation for putting it in here. Jerry, I saw your hand up. It's down. You all set?
Actually, I was just answering my question. I was wondering if it had already been reconstituted. Sounds like it has. So I'm
good. Other thoughts? All right, why don't we go to a vote and see if we want to include this under policy 6C. Oh, Bryce, sorry.
The only question I guess I'd have is, it seems like there's two different concepts here. The first being programming and special needs, and the second being housing. I suspect, you know, the first would probably be pretty not controversial. The second, depending on what that really means, I mean, that's a whole other kettle of fish, so to speak, given the discussion we just had on trying to create affordable housing in town. So I don't know. I guess, but it says fulfill housing needs. What do we think that really means? Are we now in asking the town to figure out how to build housing for people with disabilities? And if so, who would do that?
Actually, it's funny you should ask, Bryce, because several towns in Massachusetts with CPA funds have done just that, because every room in a group home counts as a unit on the subsidized housing inventory. So some towns have been using group home development precisely to sort of advance toward, you know, toward their 10% without building individual units. So just so you know, there actually is sort of a trend out there.
Yeah, but we had a big discussion about how, you know, trying to get enough money to the Affordable Housing Trust, just, you know, to build the, I think we went from 10 to 5 in the discussion a week or so ago. So I'm just trying to calibrate sort of the reasonableness of that. Is that in place of the 5 we just talked about last week, or is that in addition to the 5? And if so, are we going to go above the 10% that we asked for in the CPA? So again, I'm not opposed to it. I'm just not really clear how much we're really seeking, not in dollars, but in terms of commitment.
Right. So I was trying to hedge the bets a little bit by just saying identify opportunities as opposed to a more doctrinaire statement, but I get your concerns. Nancy and then Liz.
I will say there is an effort going on to try and create some special needs housing, kind of a little bit under the workforce housing umbrella. It's a group it's a private group who are trying to put it together, but have been working with both the Housing Authority and the Housing Trust. So there is a thread of this already happening, and it's a question of, I mean, in conversations as that has gone along, the town has been supportive. I don't think they're necessarily looking for money, they're looking for support. And probably also the big thing is land. So, yes, money in form the form of land.
Well, I mean, just maybe a quick suggestion, instead of identify opportunities, you know, support opportunities to fill housing needs for people with disabilities. I mean, we're cooperative and we're supportive, but it's not the town's, you know, commitment to creating.
I like it. When we get to vote, we'll modify that. Liz?
Just to clarify, would this be program offerings outside of the schools, or is this encompass special education within the school environment? Because I know we've talked about that's not really in our jurisdiction.
That's right. I guess I was being sort of agnostic on that. On whether it included the school activities or not. I think it's outside of the school activities because the school activities are sort of doing their thing, and the purpose of the commission was to kind of do everything else, I guess.
Okay, thank you.
Other thoughts?
I mean, typically a commission on disabilities might work with, for example, your recreation department on accommodation of children with disabilities. You know, on the housing side, doing a needs assessment for adults who need permanent housing, permanent supportive housing. Those are kind of fairly common sort of asks. And also, you know, monitoring public buildings for access.
All right, so let's vote on this addition to policy 6C with the edit that it would say, and I think, Bryce, you said in support opportunities to fulfill housing needs. Is that right?
Yes.
So with that edit, let's go ahead and run down the list. Deirdre?
Yes.
Bryce?
Yes.
I'm a yes. Paul?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Jerry?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
And Hans?
Yes.
All right. Next, implement a transfer fee for sales of high-priced homes to help fund the Affordable Housing Trust. I think we dispensed with this 8 days ago, if I remember. By modifying the vote, we had a fairly extensive conversation on that. So unless anybody wants to have that conversation again, I'm not sure we necessarily even need to vote on this one because it was just a proposal.
Well, I think if you want to include any of these in the plan, you probably do need to vote on them just the same way you vote on anything else. Otherwise, I think you could just pass on this.
Right. So I'm going to read the committee and say we can pass on that.
Okay.
So, and then policy 5E, 3, which was emphasize mixed-use development. This is a recommendation that I'll read for you. Target the commercial areas in the north and south gateways of Hingham for future economic development that will further diversify tax revenues while protecting traditional neighborhoods. And this is suggesting that we be a bit more overt and add mixed-use development and housing alternatives to the text of that. I will say that as it's currently written, it received a 12-0-0 survey result, so it was one of the few unanimous support as written. But I don't think when we get to the consent agenda that adding mixed use development and housing alternatives necessarily would change that. Why don't I open it up for some quick discussion on that, and then we'll see. Jerry?
I think it sounds okay, except for I might change the first word to emphasize to allow.
Ooh. See, here we go.
Well, I can emphasize much, but allow is if the committee's saying that, you know, we support mixed-use development by its housing alternatives as well as economic development in North South Park nodes. Right now, it's not allowed. So, you know, either going to support it by allowing it, or not emphasizing it doesn't really mean much in this context, I don't think.
All right, other thoughts? And I'll see if I can find another way to wordsmith that. Paul?
Well, I think this kind of ties into that whole conversation about mitigation. I mean, for the kind of project that envisions something like this, it's going to be big, and it's probably going to need zoning relief, and this is all part of the general discussion. And this is what gives the town a little bit of leverage. Why is that a bad thing?
No, I don't think so. That's what I said. Like, this was universally supported. This suggestion is just to be more overt so that it would read, target the commercial areas in the north and south gateways of Hingham for future economic development, including mixed-use development that provides housing alternatives that will further diversify tax revenues while protecting traditional neighborhoods.
It's going to be frightening to some people, Gordon, but I get what you're saying.
What you just said, was that a rewrite of this number three?
It's a rewrite of the existing 5.3 that this is referring to, yes.
Okay.
I can't pull it up on the screen, but I'm reading off of the recommendations. So it's the point is really to target the nodes for the large scale commercial economic development. This addition is just to be more overt that it includes mixed use development and housing alternatives.
So
it's more than a semantic change, I grant you, but yeah, Judy.
I just want to make sure I know what I'm doing here. Actually, what we're doing here is we're just modifying the wording of the existing 5E3, yes?
That's right.
That's what you're doing? Okay.
That's what I'm doing. And we're voting on that one now, so we'll just take it out of the consent agenda when the time comes.
Got it.
If people are comfortable with that, I know you can't see it, so you may not want to do that, which is fine. I'm just trying to be efficient.
Gordon, I'm totally confused. What are we voting on?
So this is an existing recommendation under policy 5E.
Okay, Jerry makes a good point. I think I'm probably being too efficient. When we get to the consent agendas next week, we'll make the change then so everybody has it in front of them and they can understand what they're voting on. Because I don't, that's the last thing I want to do is inadvertently have people voting on, particularly on things that are changing them. Without seeing it in front of them. So, sorry about that. Thank you. Let's go on to the last couple of proposals, some of which will be handled the same way. So, goal four. So, some of these are not pure new recommendations. They're more modifications for other ones. So, we're going to look at them.
I put that in here because I'm not sure what you want me to do with it. So I just thought I'll just put this wording in here about goal four, and which is a housing goal. So if we're going to address diversity somewhere else, it's fine. It just doesn't belong there.
Sorry.
Did we intentionally skip goals?
Goal six.
Back it up. Back up the committee proposals.
Wait a minute. I don't know what to say. I have on here the ones that I.
Okay. All right.
Thought I had. So.
Okay. Never mind.
Nope, that's fine. I want to make sure that we understand where we're at. So goal.
I mean, happy to say something in the plan about racial and ethnic diversity, but you need to tell me what you want to say, because you didn't like the way we handled it, which is fine, but I need to know what you want to say.
I think that this was my comment, so is it somewhere else, Judy? Maybe I missed it. I just felt like we've talked about diversity as a group. This goal 4 talks about population diversity, and then we talk about, you know, Council on Aging and affordable housing, but I don't feel like we have any actions about racial and ethnic diversity or trying to be a more inclusive community.
And I don't know what actions you want to take.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I need some direction, because it's typically addressed under housing. So it's, and I understand you didn't want to do that, but I don't know what you want me to do.
So it's this struggle that we talked a little bit about, I think, on the housing side, which is when we're talking about providing housing, we can provide housing. We can address economic diversity, right? We can offer economically diverse housing, right? And who chooses to move and rent or buy, we have a little less control over the levers of that. But I think that was the extent that we talked about it in the housing conversation. Liz, there may be some other, you know, recommendations that we could work on, which is, you know, it could be support the efforts of the Hingham Unity Council in raising awareness and encouraging, you know, the citizens of Hingham. I don't know what it would be. So maybe we can work on that.
Yeah, I'm happy to take that offline and work on that. I do feel like that is missing.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. So let's see if we can come up with one to address next week. And then we can edit the comment about the text that children born in Hingham should live their whole lives here without having to leave.
That just seemed odd to me to be in a master plan.
Yeah.
I know that came from a visioning session where people said,
it did.
Our kids can't afford to move back, and that's a concern. I 100% understand that. But that sentence just made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah, sometimes I think my mother hoped that was true, but I came back anyway. So,
actually, a lot of kids don't want to go back.
Right, they should be able to. This is not some dystopian you can't leave kind of policy, right? Like, you should live and you cannot. Yeah, no, it's true. So they should be able to. So we can work on the wording of that.
I may have made a typo.
No, that's fine. More emphasis on adding to and integrating. So some of these need to get worked in, and I should have done this beforehand.
All right. I just literally put these in raw the way they came through.
Fine. So I'm going to look at these, and for those that are in the consent agenda, I will take these under consideration and edit for discussion when we do the consent agenda. So I think we can add a goal on the elder housing, and then there was one fairly specific there about adding a recommendation supporting the country club pool.
Yeah.
Have we talked about that already at some point? I feel like we have, but
we did.
Yeah.
Early on.
Gordon?
Yeah.
We talk about all kinds of facilities, all kinds of the things that are on the town's wish list. I don't believe we do talk about the pool. And
I couldn't find it.
I think you're right, Jonna.
And I, you know, I'm not speaking to whether or not Rue is in favor of that. I just thought it was odd that we talked about the field study and lots of other things, but never addressed the pool.
We actually talked about that as a team, Donna, and we didn't really feel we had enough information to go by, so we decided to just let it sit and see what you guys thought.
The pool is part of the country club, which the town works very hard to, you know, make sure that, I don't know if support's the right word, but they're going through a master planning process, so I don't remember if we specifically have a discussion about the country club and supporting them in here, and would the pool go with that as part of that facility? I don't know.
I don't think we did specifically address it.
I do feel like we talked about it, but I can't find it either.
Gordon, we did talk about it. We mentioned it. I don't think we got into the grass with it, that's all. But it has been mentioned.
I think it was in the public facilities section.
It's in the existing conditions and assessment.
But I think we should remember that this was one of the things that did get mentioned more than once in our visioning sessions, and again, that's been a snapshot in time because everybody was kind of getting used to the idea that the pool was last was going to be closed for some number of years, and it didn't appear to be a real plan to bring it back to life, but it certainly did come up.
It did, and it's a fairly large ticket item.
So do you want me to work on some wording for that and have that ready for Tuesday?
Yes, I think we'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was number two in the what is something you really want to see in Hingham that is missing. Indoor community pool, right after traffic lights. So
Gordon, let me talk to you about that before Tuesday, and maybe we can come up with wording that makes sense for both of us.
Okay.
Yeah, can I just add a comment on this, Gordon, though?
Of course, Chris.
I agree that it was brought up by some people, but, you know, oftentimes there's a vocal minority. And I, you know, as a relatively informed citizen, I don't feel like I know enough about, I know it's been controversial. I know it's sort of been on again, off again in terms of locations and costs and covered and not. And, I mean, are we saying we're going to endorse the pool? Because I don't have enough information
I would be happy to have language like the language we eventually came to with about the field study, you know, about looking at the results and considering priorities with the town. I don't feel strongly that the master plan committee needs to take an opinion one way or the other. I just thought it was odd that of all the things that are on the town's horizon, that's the one that's missing.
Yeah, well, no, I think that's...
Tough language is fine with me.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Donna, and that's a good suggestion. But the other thought I have is, in some ways, doesn't this really fit in under an address? We had a long discussion about having a more thoughtful and programmatic way for the town to look at all of our facilities. You know, the reinstatement that you know, Jerry talked about quite eloquently about, you know, just talking about our overall town buildings, infrastructure, et cetera. I mean, for the pool to get to that position, you know, where it was so old and cracked and structurally unsound, is sort of emblematic of I think the issue we talked about a few weeks ago. So, you know, whether it's a specific thing about the country club or folding the country club into the other goal, which was, you know, I think more comprehensive either way, but I just wouldn't want to, you know, put a gold star on putting a pool in without, you know, having more information.
And we all realized, wait a minute, we park the golf carts under the pool? Well, okay. So, yes, right, I think that's a very good point. All right, so, Michael, do you have a comment on the pool or something else?
I have just a real quick clarification. Judy mentioned a meeting on Tuesday. It's not next Tuesday. It's a week from Tuesday.
You know, you're right. I'm sorry. Okay, I already have like two other meetings next Tuesday night.
Yeah, and I have HGIC.
Next Thursday.
It's Thursday. Okay.
Thursday the
12th. Thursday the 12th. Okay, you scared me. Thanks. I thought I missed it.
Important clarification. Okay, so there are a couple more to go through real quick, and we can hopefully be out of here in 2 hour times. Yep, so we covered those.
So this is me making a suggestion that we edit the language. Again, this is something that's in the consent agenda. Mm-hmm. What we say in the consent agenda, speaking to the just the point that Bryce made, was work with the Permanent Building and Facilities Management Study Committee to explore alternative approaches to prioritize and manage capital improvement projects. I am 100% on the intent of this, but we do not have a Permanent Building and Facilities Management Study Committee.
Okay.
It's to be edited to speak in a more generic way about developing a process to do this important work.
Okay. I'm not sure why we thought there was one, so that's our error.
Because Jerry spoke so eloquently about it, we didn't get one. But unfortunately, he wasn't successful.
Right, so we'll make that edit again in time for the consent agenda. Thank you for catching that, Bella, because I did not. And I think we discussed infill housing a bit into the housing discussion as well. And so I don't think we need to vote on what is number 10 on this list. And then 11, provide an elderly liaison social worker. That is not exactly what we had discussed from the Board of Health suggestion, is it?
No, I'm not. This was a committee recommendation, so.
Right. Are you talking about the age of the liaison social worker?
No.
Is this a retiree hiring program? Is that what it is?
Good point. Sign me up.
All right, I'm so close.
Oh, Michael.
Words matter. I don't know what the sense of the committee is on that. I don't know where it would fall, I guess, under the...
Public Facilities and Services.
Or number 6, right?
Yeah, goal 6, right.
Goal 6 or goal 7. Any discussion on this? Any strong feelings on including or excluding?
Didn't we have a discussion about social workers on another section?
Yes, I'm trying to find it now, of course.
And I thought we kind of, after quite a bit of discussion, decided that perhaps it wasn't something we wanted to support.
Yeah, it was 61, and we crossed out including the hiring of at least one full-time social worker.
Right.
All right, so if we did it there, then adding one now, it strikes me as inconsistent.
Well, so if we had specified that person to be elderly, maybe we would have...
the past?
Correct, we did not. We currently have one part-time social worker, we said.
Associated with the senior center or for the town as a whole?
Town as a whole.
Town as a whole.
A part-time social worker?
Yeah.
I think we're okay to skip it.
No, your problem's part-time.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll skip that for now. Short-term tax.
That's dead.
We already discussed this.
Discussed that. Gosh, we've been patient.
I was not clear what was intended by this last one, but this is the literal wording from the recommendation that was provided.
We're both covered.
I got 3 minutes. We got 3 minutes here.
Sorry, guys.
I think we'll table this one as well.
Yeah.
Judy, we can talk about it and where it goes. So that's our last one of the evening. Am I right?
Yes, sir. That is it.
Next week, when we take up the consent agenda, What I've been discussing with Donna and others about the process for that is, I may have mentioned it here, is running through much the way the moderator runs through the budget at town meeting. So I'll take a series of the consent agenda items in bunches, read them, and if somebody, because these were 75% plus, in almost every case, it was because people wanted to discuss them, not because they were opposed to them in principle. But the strong majority of the respondents were just saying, yes, include. So I'm going to go through them. If somebody does have an issue, either with the wording or what they want to discuss it, just say hold and we'll come back to it. But all those that are not held, I believe we can vote in a single roll call vote. So that will hopefully make that process a bit more efficient, but also allow us to discuss anything that needs to be discussed. That is not to discourage any conversations about any of those at all. It's just to find a way to be a little bit more efficient on the ones where there was broad consensus. But that's what we're going to probably take up a week from today. So we're on to another Thursday, I guess. Does that make sense? Is there comfort or heartburn with that approach when we get to it next week?
Comfort. I'm fine.
Okay. Brilliant. So we will work on that next week. Any other final thoughts before I set you all free? Except Bryce, because he has to stay after.
You did a good job tonight, Gord. You're getting better.
Hey, you stand on the dining table, man. That's what.
Notice how I said good tonight.
Yeah, right.
There we go.
It's just a transcontinental trip, not a transatlantic trip tonight. Is that what it was, Bryce? Good.
Yes.
Two time zones only. All right, then I will make a motion at 9:30 on the number to adjourn.
Seconded.
Seconded by Cransley. Deirdre?
Yes.
Bryce?
Why not?
You got nowhere to go. I'm a yes.
Aye.
Paul's a yes. Bob?
Aye.
Nancy?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Jerry?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes.
And Hans?
Yes.
All righty. Thank you all again. Another productive evening. And we'll see you all next Thursday. It will be 7 p.m. next Thursday. This was 7:30 to accommodate and be able to squeeze Judy in for this as well. So 7 p.m. Next Thursday.
All right.
Bye now. Thank
Night.
You.